and now Ben Bailey.
And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Welcome to our study of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is all about the supremacy of Christ. Hebrews 1 through 7 shows that Christ is greater than the things under the Old Testament. Greater than angels, chapter 1. Greater salvation, chapter 2. Chapter 3, he's greater than Moses. Chapter 4, he's greater than Joshua. And in chapter 5, and in some of chapter 7, or in some of chapter 5 and all of chapter 7, he now shows that Christ is greater than Aaron, greater than the Levites, and is of the priestly order of Melchizedek. Chapters 5 through 7 break down in a very unique way. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, is the beginning of the writer's argument about Christ being of the order of Melchizedek. But right in the middle of this argument, the writer has to stop, chapter 5, 12, all the way through the end of chapter 6, and rebuke and encourage these Hebrew Christians for not growing like they should have. And so chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and all of chapter 7 show us about how Christ is greater than Aaron, greater than the Levites, and is of the divine priestly order appointed by God. Psalm 110 and verse 4. He begins in chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, by showing that priests are taken from among men so that they can associate with, so that they can offer sacrifice for men, and how that they can relate, first offering sacrifice for themselves and then for the people. But what's interesting about Hebrews chapter 5 in the beginning of this argument is that no priest ever took the honor of being a priest upon himself. What that means is someone didn't sit down and wake up one day and say, you know what? I think I'll be a priest today. It was something that was divinely appointed by God ahead of time. Notice Hebrews 5 and verse 4. The Scripture says this, "And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron." Priests don't wake up one day and decide, or people of God didn't wake up one day and decide, I'll be a priest today. It was something that was appointed by God. All the way back to the time of Exodus and Numbers, God decided, Numbers 28:1, that the people would be priests who were descendants of Aaron, who were the sons of Aaron, who were the followers, or of the tribe of Levi. And so this is something that was divinely appointed by God. And what's interesting about Jesus, he's not of the tribe of Aaron, or he's not from Aaron, he's not of the Levites, and yet he is still priest. How can that be the case? Here the Hebrew writer is trying to convince Christians, don't go back to the old law. And one of the main arguments he's going to make is, you've got a new priest, a better priest, and yet Jesus is not of the tribe of Levi. How can he be a priest? Notice Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10. This is one of the key ideas in this argument. Hebrews 5 and verse 10 says this, Jesus was called by God as high priest, notice this statement, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is not of the order of the Levites or the order of Aaron. Jesus is a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Now, this is in fulfillment and promise with divine prophecy. One of the key prophecies in the book of Hebrews is found in Psalm 110, verse 4. I want you to notice this psalm, for it's paramount to his argument. Psalm 110, verse 4, the psalmist promised this in the long ago. God said, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And so here you've got the introduction of Jesus. He's a priest not for a time period, but forever, just like Melchizedek was. The Hebrew writer in chapter 5 also makes the point that just as Jesus suffered and learned obedience, he's now the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. And so you've got a different priest. He's of the order of Melchizedek, and he's able to save men today because he has an undying, unchanging priesthood. Friends, notice Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. It's such a powerful text about the salvation, the priestly role that Jesus offers being according to the order of Melchizedek. Notice these words.
The Bible says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Jesus is a perfect priest, but he demands of us that we obey him. Revelation 22, verse 14, the scripture says, blessed are those who do his commandments. Friend, being a faithful child of God, accepting the priestly role of Jesus and making his sacrifice viable for us means that we're willing to obey him. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, it's not everybody who just looks up into heaven and says, Lord, Lord, that's going there. But Jesus said, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Friend, you cannot be a faithful child of God. You cannot receive the sacrifice and the efficacy of Jesus' blood without obeying the gospel. Luke 6:46, Jesus asked a haunting question. He said, why do you Jews, you pious Jews, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And so a man must be obedient to God if he's going to be pleasing to the Father. Now, Hebrews chapter 7 gives us a more in-depth discussion of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5 verse 11, he says, I've got much to say about Melchizedek. Melchizedek, I want to tell you about his order, but you're immature, you've become dull of hearing. And then he gives them a sharp rebuke, probably one of the strongest in the Bible. By this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God. But let us consider for a few moments how Christ is of the order of Melchizedek and what that means to Christianity today. I want you to notice Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 4. And here's the background, here's the backdrop to Jesus being of the order of Melchizedek. It's a little history for us. Hebrews 7, verse 1 describes Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And so here you've got the background of Melchizedek, this great historical figure. Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, is where we learn this piece of history about Melchizedek and Abraham. Melchizedek was both king and priest. Notice how that ties in perfectly with the role of Jesus. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19, verse 16. 1 Timothy 6 describes him as the great and only potentate or ruler. Notice Jesus is also priest. Hebrews 8, verse 1, he'll say, this is the main point of things we're saying. We have such a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. He is able to offer himself as sacrifice, Hebrews 10, verse 12, and he stands between God and man. And so you've got this battle. Abraham is at the battle of the kings. He wins the great battle. On the way back from that, he's got all these spoils of war. And he meets the priest of God, of the Most High God, Melchizedek. Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And then Abraham, showing honor to Melchizedek, gives him one-tenth, a tithe, of all the spoils of war. Now, the major point that the Hebrew writer is going to stress is that Abraham, through whom all of Israel, through whom the Levites came, and in essence, Levi was still in his loins, therefore Abraham, Levi, and the whole Mosaic system bow down and show honor to Melchizedek as greater than the Levitical system. Now, as we think about Melchizedek, he has two messianic titles also, which tie right in with Jesus. Not only is he king and priest, just like Jesus is, but Melchizedek, in Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 4, is called King of Righteousness. Jesus himself is a righteous king. He is perfectly righteous. Remember, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Hebrews 5, verse 8. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. He committed no sin, nor was guile or deceit found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2, verse 22. God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And so when we think of Melchizedek, he was a king of righteousness. When we think about Jesus being like Melchizedek, he's also king of righteousness. When we think of another title given to us in Hebrews 7, that is, Melchizedek is also king of peace. Jesus is a peaceful king, and his kingdom is a kingdom of peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, he's called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 2, verses 3 and 4, at the inauguration and beginning of this kingdom, men were going to beat their swords into plowshares. There's the idea that it no longer be a kingdom of war. The gospel is the gospel of peace. We're to bring that good news to Jesus, and we're no longer, as God's people were under the old law, trying to do away with the enemies. Now, concerning Melchizedek and Jesus having similarities as priests, notice this. Melchizedek, as a priest, now remember, let's keep this in the context. We're not talking about his birth. We're not talking about his creation. We're talking about his priestly order. Now, that's important to understand this. Concerning his priestly order, that's the context, Melchizedek is said to have been without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning or end of days. As long as he lived, he was going to be a priest. Now, according to the old law, a priest under the Mosaic system had to have a father and mother who were of the right tribe. Exodus 28, verse 1, they were to come from Aaron. Numbers 15, verse 25, they're to be taken from the brethren of Israel. And so here is the requirement of Aaron from among the people. That's the requirement for them being a priest. Also, under the old Levitical system, the Levites had a beginning point and an ending point to their priestly service. Let me illustrate. Numbers chapter 8, I'd like for you to notice what verse 24 and verse 25 says. The Scripture says, this is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. There was a definite beginning age for a Levitical priest. That was the age of 25. At the age of 50, during the time of the tabernacle, that's when they ceased doing their work. And so, Levites had a beginning, they had an end. Not Melchizedek. He was without father or mother. His parents were not of the tribe of Aaron or Levite. He had no beginning or ending days. He was a priest, divinely appointed. He served because God said so, not because his parents were of the right tribe. And he began and stopped when God wanted him to begin and stop. And so here's the main point of all this. How does all this tie in with Jesus? If Jesus is priest, then he is a priest forever like Melchizedek.